Well, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ. Once again, this is your voice of the gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming into your homes, institutions, and automobiles with another Christ-honoring gospel program. And friends, I am so happy today that I can open this book which I hold in my hand, and I can tell you as best I can, with God's help, the wonderful story of redeeming love. Yes, I can tell you that God is a God of love, a God of mercy, and a God of matchless grace. And I can tell you all this because I know it to be true from personal experience. Because my friend, back on June the 2nd of 1952, after being convicted of my sinful and degraded condition in God's sight, I accepted by faith the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. Yes, on that day I was born again. I was saved. I was made a new creature in and through Christ Jesus. And friends, as I sit here before the microphone today with the Word of God in my hands, I'm the happiest man in all the world because I have something that money can't buy. I have communion and fellowship with the Holy God and Creator. In addition, I have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. You know, I read in Romans 6 and 23 that even though the wages of sin is death, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tell me, radio friend, as you listen to this broadcast today, can you honestly say that you're happy? Is there any joy or real satisfaction in your heart and soul? Do you have peace with God? Well, if not, the Bible says in Romans 5 and 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 22 and verse 21, we read, acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. And since peace is a result of faith, I can tell you in the words of Romans 10 and 17, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So please, sinner friend, if you want peace with God, give heed to God's word and trust in God's Son as your own and personal Savior. Now let's open up the broadcast today with a lovely tune, and it's entitled, To God Be the Glory. I can honestly say, like the songwriter today, to God be the glory. Yes, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, We come into thy presence today on the grounds of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Father, for the value and the virtue of that precious blood, which alone cleanseth from all sin. And, Father, we would pray thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. May it please thee, our God, by thy Holy Spirit and by thy word, to bring both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are tuned in, who have never been saved or born again. Honor afresh thy Son. Save souls, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, if you would care to follow me in the scriptures today, I'll be reading two portions of the Word of God, one in the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 21. Numbers, chapter 21, and I'll begin reading at verse 4. Numbers 21 and verse 4. And they, meaning the children of Israel, journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it on a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now for the New Testament scripture, John chapter 3, John's Gospel, chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to the religious Pharisee named Nicodemus. John chapter 3 and verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, in the portions of scripture which we've read together today, I believe we have a most expressive picture of God's great plan of redemption. Yes, in both Numbers chapter 21 as well as in John chapter 3, the Word of God vividly brings before us the simplicity of salvation through simple childlike faith. And as I've already mentioned, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So I trust that you who are yet unsaved listening in will give your undivided attention to what the Spirit of God has revealed to us here in these scriptures. Now concerning the background of this incident in Numbers chapter 21, we read that the people, though released from their Egyptian bondage, had been murmuring about their plight and had been rebelling against God and God's man Moses. Therefore God sent fiery serpents to bite the people. And that leads us to the first important fact I want you to notice today, and that was their condition before God. Their condition before God. Now friends, their condition before God was that of having been bitten by the snake. And this of course speaks to us of our sinnership in the sight of a holy God. Yes, our condition before God is that of having been bitten by sin, that dread disease which results in the second death or lake of fire. Listen, my friend, if you've never been saved or born again by the Holy Spirit of God from above, then you're slowly but surely dying, spiritually as well as physically. Now, David the psalmist reminds us in the Word of God that regardless of who we are, we've all been born in sin and chastened in iniquity. Again, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 5 and 12 that wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin. Therefore death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And finally, over in Romans chapter 3, God sums up his indictment of all mankind with these words, For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, my friend, you're just like the people in Numbers chapter 21 who were bitten by the serpents. You too have been bitten by sin, and as a result, your condition before God, whether you realize it or not, is that of a lost, guilty, and hell-deserving sinner. Now, that leads us to the second point of analogy, and that is the fact that these people who were bitten were aware of their condition. In other words, they were convicted of their need for help. Now, perhaps there's someone listening in today, and you've never been convicted of your true spiritual condition before God. You've always maintained that your wound or your spiritual condition was not as serious as your neighbor's. Yes, you've always maintained that you're not as big a sinner as the next person. But listen, my friend, you're a sinner nonetheless. And God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the wages of sin is death. So it doesn't make any difference, friend, whether you're a big sinner or a so-called little sinner, whether you're Catholic, Protestant, or Jew, the result will be just the same if you die in your sins. Hell and the lake of fire. Now, at this point, I want to be most emphatic when I say that according to God's Word, only those who are convicted of sin can possibly be a candidate for God's salvation. Because after all, if a person that's bitten by a poisonous snake doesn't believe that they need quick medical attention, it isn't likely that they're going to seek it. And so it is with the unsaved sinner. If a person doesn't realize he's on his way to the pit or down to hell and deserves to be there, then there's no hope of him ever being in heaven. Because Jesus Christ says that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, on another occasion, he said that he came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And Paul tells us over there in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So friend, let me be very clear. When I make this statement, and I do so with the highest degree of reverence, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in addition to being convicted about one's condition, it's necessary that this conviction brings about an active and positive concern. In other words, if you're convicted of your condition today before God, friend, why not show enough concern about it to do something about it right now? These people in our text were so concerned about their serious condition that they went right away to Moses. Yes, they had confidence in this man who could talk with God. Listen, my friend, these people didn't sit back to see if the wounds would heal themselves. Oh, no. They were so concerned that they sought help for their grave condition. Now, I believe that people today, even though they may be convicted of sin, they're trying to cure their own condition with homemade or devil-inspired remedies. And listen, my friend, it's going to be fatal. Yes, it's going to be fatal. People today are trying to cure their sinful condition by so-called good works or religious rituals. Friend, God says it just won't work. In Titus 3 and 5, we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us." Again, in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that, friend? "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Again, in Romans 4 and 5, God declares, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So you see, friends, it's impossible to cure your sinful condition with so-called good works or religious rituals. In Isaiah 64 and 6, we read that all our righteousnesses or good works are as filthy rags, and in God's estimation, we are all as an unclean thing. Now then, another devil-inspired home remedy which people are using to try to cure their disease called sin is church membership or rituals or religious activities. They believe that as long as they have their name on a church roll, or as long as they've been baptized, or as long as they teach in a Sunday school or sing in a choir, then they're sure of pleasing God and going to heaven. Listen, friend, if you're not saved and born again through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, then regardless of what you do to try to merit the favor of God, it will be to no avail whatsoever. Because we read in Hebrews 11 and 6, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And friends, that's the purpose of these radio broadcasts of the gospel. I'm here simply to show you that your own ideas concerning salvation don't mean a thing if they contradict the Word of God. And when Jesus Christ told the religious Nicodemus in John 3:3 that except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, well, friend, he meant exactly what he said. So if you're trying to reach heaven by any other way apart from the prescribed new birth, well, friend, you'll be in hell as sure as God's word is true. Now, friend, when I speak about hell and the lake of fire, believe me, I do so in love for your soul. No, I get no enjoyment about speaking about sin or hell and judgment and the wrath of God. Friend, I'm so anxious that you see your condition before God and accept His Son as your Savior that I must bring before you the scriptural alternative, and that is the flames of eternal torment. In John 3:36 we read, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Now the next important fact I want you to notice about these people who were bitten by the snake is that they had to confess their sinful condition before they could be cured. In Numbers 21:7 we read where they cried out, "We have sinned." My, what a confession that was. We have sinned. And my friend, you're going to have to confess that you're a sinner before you can expect to become a child of God. Yes, you're going to have to confess that you're a lost, guilty, and hell-bound sinner in the sight of Almighty God. You'll have to confess before God you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Friend, before you can possibly be born again, the language of your heart must be just like the prodigal son over in Luke 15. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Or like the publican who cried out in Luke 18, God be merciful to me, the sinner. Now you who are listening in today, have you ever confessed your sin to God? Have you ever cried out in the anguish of a contrite heart, God forgive my sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, thy son? Friend, have you as an individual ever acknowledged before God that he would be perfectly just in casting you into the flames of hell? Well, friends, before I go any further, I want you to know that everyone that reaches the glories of heaven will be a sinner. Yes, but thank God they'll be a sinner saved by grace alone. Now, friends, getting back to Numbers chapter 21, we notice that the next significant fact concerning the people who were bitten by the snakes was the cure. The cure. And here God tells Moses to make a serpent of brass and to hang it upon a pole. And then God gives the solemn promise that if those who were bitten by the snakes would only look at the serpent on the pole, they would be healed of their snake bite. Yes, and they would then have fellowship with God once again. Friend, you'll have to admit that this is about as simple a cure as you could possibly expect. It didn't call for good works. It didn't call for sacrifice. It didn't demand penance or self-denial. No, my friends, all it demanded was simple childlike faith in the Word of God. Now, no doubt there were many skeptics in those days, too. They couldn't believe that a look of faith could heal a condition which resulted in death. Well, friends, the Scriptures tell us that everyone who looked upon the brazen serpent on the pole was immediately healed. Now, sinner friend, the application to you today, I believe, is very, very clear. You as an individual have been bitten by sin, and God declares that the wages of sin is death. And friend, the only possible cure for you who are unsaved today is simple faith in the death of Jesus Christ. That's the reason we read those two verses in John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ is telling the religious Nicodemus how he could be born again. Now he knew that Nicodemus, being a Pharisee, was well acquainted with the Old Testament scriptures. So he referred him to Numbers chapter 21. And then he declares in verses 14 and 15 of John chapter 3, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. My, what could be clearer than that? What could be simpler than that? Friend, if you die in your sin to go down to a Christ rejecter's hell, you'll have no one to blame but yourself. God, in love, mercy, and grace, has provided the way of escape, and that through simple faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, if you'll acknowledge your sinful condition before God today and accept His Son as your Savior and Lord, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. Yes, just one look at Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and dying for your sins. That's all it takes, my friend. That's all that was required way back in Numbers chapter 21, and that's all that God requires today. It's only a look. Over in Isaiah 45 and verse 22 we read, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Now friends, these people who were bitten way back there in Numbers chapter 21 could never be healed unless they applied the remedy of faith. They could be told about the remedy and yet not be healed. They could see others being healed and yet they themselves being not healed. Yes, they could be warned, preached to, and prayed for, but they couldn't be cured themselves until they personally applied the God-given remedy. Now, some of you listening in today are the same way. You've been told about the remedy for sin many, many times, but you're still unsaved. You've seen others accept the cure, and yet you yourself continue to trample underfoot the Son of God. You too have been warned. You've been preached to and prayed for, but you're still in your sins. Why? Because you don't believe God. Why? Because you have a false sense of pride. Why? Because you love your sins too much to leave them. Why? Because you have your own ideas about salvation. Why? Because you're afraid of what your associates might think or say about you if you got saved. Why? Because you don't have the courage to take a stand for the one who died for you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because you believe you have plenty of time to accept Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend, listen. The grace of God is soon coming to an end, but the wrath of God is about to fall upon this godless world of Christ rejectors. So God says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Again, I think of those ominous words in Proverbs 29 and 1. "He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Friend, I plead with you today, in love for your soul, please don't let the devil rob you of eternal life. By faith, my friend, just look to Calvary's cross and see the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, dying in your guilty room and in your stead. See Him shedding that precious blood which alone cleanses from sin. See Him lifted up, the just one, dying for you the unjust, so they might bring you back to God. Friend, we were reading those words in John 3 and 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Oh, friend, I plead with you today, in view of eternity, trust the one who said, "Come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Friend, if you come to Jesus Christ by faith today, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy presence again today to thank Thee for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, for the one who was made a curse for us, for cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And we thank Thee, our God, that He loved us unto death, even the shameful and ignominious death of Calvary. And Father, we pray Thy blessing upon Thy word that has just gone forth. May there be those out in radio land today, perhaps hearing the gospel for the first time, and then, our God, there may be some listening for the last time. May it please Thee by Thy Holy Spirit to pluck them as brands from the burning, save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanks, giving and praise, for we ask it in the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Christ to receive. seems now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Even invite you here, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. That bitter wail, almost but lost. Almost. But love.
Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. And if I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, that's the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that zip code is 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that's spelled capital M-C, capital K-E-E-S-P-O-R-T, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now until our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.